Welcome to all those who know us regularly here in Springwood Presbyterian Churches and to those who are guests or visitors with us tonight, some who I know have travelled some distance. Very welcome, and we'll be sharing some supper together in a little while. The words Keith has just read to us are amongst the most profound words of literature ever written. And fittingly, Kirk will be preaching from John 1 tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock over in the Ministry Centre, and then I'll be preaching from it again on Sunday, slightly different emphases. John 1 is where we're going to be finishing the year. As fires threaten and drought is widespread, as in Australia and indeed many parts of the world, food and water supplies are dwindling and people are despairing and dying, we realise again this Christmas how much we love the earth, the world in which God has placed us, and how much we long for the earth to flourish again with freshness and coolness and water and life. But I hope we also realise again this Christmas that we cannot save the earth. As much as we love the earth, we cannot save the earth. But I want you to hear again in this brief reflection on Scripture, Isaiah's ancient words, the vision he gave us in chapter 11 for Israel and the world, and it's a very earthy vision. Remember, it was read to us earlier, the wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear. Their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox, and the infant will play near the cobra's den. And the young child will put its hand in the viper's nest, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. That's got to be one of the most earthy, hope-filled passages in all of literature. Wolves and lambs, frolicking and playing, children, their pets include vipers, the children lead the lions around, the cows and the bears, they eat together. What you've got here is an earthy description of a world completely at peace. For the earth will be filled with knowing the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And I remember when I was a child reading that text and thinking, what's he talking about, as the waters cover the sea? Of course the waters cover the sea and the waters are the same thing. Of course the earth will be the Lord's again. We cannot save the world, but God will save the world. And the entire cosmos will be filled with knowing the Lord. He has promised to do so. The images are striking. The creation will be rescued. So there are two false stories going around, and we're hearing a lot of them this Christmas. And I want to contend with them briefly tonight. For all who are feeling despairing and helpless, there is a story going around that the earth is doomed, that the future is despairing, and that we may as well eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow everything dies. The consumerist nightmare that tells us that the meaning of life is shopping and consuming and accumulating and hoarding and owning and controlling is death. It finally means everything will be used up. There is no future in such a story, and we contend with it in the light of Scripture tonight and want to say this idea, this widespread consumerist story that the future is despairing and everything is used up is false. It's a lie. Well, there's a second story that's going around, and it is this, that by human ingenuity and hard work and science and technology, we, humanity, can rescue the Earth. It depends on us, and there is a future, perhaps on another planet, and our brilliance and creativity will get us there. We also want to say that's not true in the light of Scripture. That is not a true story. The future does not depend on us, and our brilliance won't get us there. Both of these stories, the one that the Earth is doomed, the other that we can somehow guarantee a brighter future by our own science and technology, these are false stories. These are deceptive myths. Thank God that He has given us an authoritative, truthful scripture in which He tells us that God will rescue the world, that God has promised a peaceful, flourishing future. Not because of our independent initiative and action, but because of God's action. That's what Christmas is all about. Christmas is about God stepping into the creation, incarnate in Jesus, to rescue the world and all who trust in Him. Christmas is about a loving and powerful God commencing human life as a baby and ushering in through His life and ministry, death and resurrection, a new creation. And then inviting us to join with Him in that hope of new creation and to begin working with God for His purposes in renewing the earth and the cosmos. The future is entirely hope-filled, not because of our ingenuity and brilliance, but because of God's grace and mercy. This past Sunday, Kirk read to us a very moving piece of poetry by Howard Thurman. It's called Now the Work of Christmas Begins. Let me read it to you again tonight. Thurman writes, "When the song of angels is stilled, when the star in the sky is gone, when the kings and princes are home, when the shepherds are back with their flocks, the work of Christmas begins. To find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoner, to rebuild the nations, to bring peace among the people, to make music in the heart." It's wonderful, isn't it? The work of Christmas begins. What God has commenced continues in finding the lost, healing the broken, feeding the hungry, releasing the prisoner, rebuilding the nations, bringing peace among the people, making music in our hearts as a humanity full of hope. Those words in that poem are a description of the work of Jesus before they're a description of our work. They're a description of the kingdom of God coming, where Jesus found the lost and healed the broken and fed the hungry and set the captives free and began to rebuild nations and reconcile people to God and each other. And sweet hymns and joyful spirit-filled life was regained and continues today among all who know Him. This is the work of Jesus. And so tonight we want to affirm the true story of the world, the true story of the earth and its future. And it is this: if we seek to participate in God's work and in the future hope of the world, we will do so by firstly coming to the King, Messiah Jesus, and walking in His way and being filled with His Spirit and listening to His word and giving everything we have to His will and purpose. The earth will be saved by God's power and grace and love. We can be saved by God's power and grace and love. The future is secure because of God's power, grace and love. And so the invitation tonight, in the face of threat and anxiety and fire and drought, is put your life into the hands of the God of power, grace and love, and be part of the glorious future and the sacrificial work required of humanity in Christ that will lead to the Isaiah vision and the Christmas promise and the hope of the gospel. Now the work of Christmas begins. Let's pause and pray. Father, sometimes we're overwhelmed by despairing messages and bleak stories. But we hear of a promise of a peaceful creation where children are safe, where the whole world is filled with the knowledge of your goodness and grace, where tears are taken away. And so may we join you as participants in the work of Christmas tonight and in the year to come. And may we contend with the myths of hopeless despair and consumer purpose and human ingenuity as the answer. May we participate in your power and initiative, grace and mercy, as the only true hope of the world. And may that story shower over Springwood and the Blue Mountains and this nation and the world this Christmas. And may you put hope into the hearts of those who are feeling hopeless tonight, and a new trust in the ruling, living, conquering Jesus, born as a babe in Bethlehem, now King of Kings, ruler of nations, through whom, in whom, to whom, and for whom are all things. May the peace of Christ fill our hearts tonight, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.